From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. COVID-19 recovers double compared to death, spokesperson said. Indonesian Airlines resumed domestic passengers' flights with strict health protocols. Now the news in details. The number of patients recovering from COVID-19 in Indonesia has doubled or increased 256% to 2,381 compared to the number of deaths that has reached 930 as May 7th. In video conference, government spokesperson for handling COVID-19, Ahmad Yuryanto said, the highest distributions of patients who have recovered is in Jakarta, South Sulawesi, East Java, Bali, and West Java. Large-scale social restrictions have been enforced in several cities, including Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi, and Pekanbaru, to break the chain of COVID-19 transmission. The central government has also banned homebound travel, locally known as mudik, during the fasting month of Ramadan and the Idul Fitri holiday season. Several Indonesian airlines have resumed domestic passengers' flights following a letter from the COVID-19 task force allowing certain people to travel despite government travel restrictions. Service will be reopened gradually this month. Garuda Indonesia officially resumed domestic passenger flights on Thursday after suspending them in a compliance with the government's large-scale social restrictions. Garuda Indonesia will require passengers to provide ground staffs with medical letters from hospitals stating that they are COVID-19 negative. The airline will also require state officials to provide documents, including official letters of duty, employees' IDs, and letters explaining the purpose of travel. Lion Air, Wings Air, and Batik Air members of the Lion Air Group will resume domestic passengers' flights on Sunday. Indonesia's Foreign Affairs Ministry will summon Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia, Xiao Chan, for clarifications on treatment received by several Indonesians working for Chinese fishing vessels that ended in three of them dying. The ministry will also seek the Chinese Ambassador explanation on the burial at the sea of the bodies of the deceased Indonesian's crew of Sin 629 and Long Sin 604 fishing boats, the ministry noted in a statement escorted by Antara. The Indonesian Foreign Ministry is keen to know whether the burial at the sea for the deceased Indonesian workers had met the International Labour Organization Seafarers Service Regulations. In December 2019 and March 2020, three Indonesian working for Longshin 629 and Longshin 604 had died while the fishing boats were sailing in the Pacific Ocean. The Indonesian embassy in Beijing has sent a diplomatic note to the Chinese Foreign Ministry for clarifications on this case. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Azerbaijani embassy in Indonesia held the commemorative ceremony dedicated to the 97th birth anniversary of national leader Heydar Aliyev. The national leader was born on May 10, 1923 in Nakhchivan, according to a statement from the Azerbaijani embassy. The embassy official said, a wreath before the national leader's bust at the embassy. Thereafter, while conversing with the diplomatic staff, Ambassador Jalal Mirzayev spoke at length on the work of national leaders Aliyev for the people of Azerbaijan. The ambassador also noted that today in the independent foreign and internal policy founded by national leader Heydar Aliyev is being successfully pursued by President Ilham Aliyev. At least 13 people have been killed by a massive gas leak at a chemical plant in southern India, with 800 others taken to hospital. The leak from the LG Polymers plants in the city of Visakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh state came as people slept. Doctor says patients have been complaining of a burning sensation in the eyes and difficulties breathing. Areas around the plant have been evacuated. The leak may have been due to negligence, officials said. Reports suggest initial attempts to control the gas leak were unsuccessful, but the company and state officials says the situation is now under control. LG said in a statement it was investigating the cause of the incident and was looking at ways to provide speedy treatment for those affected. Rajendra Reddy, a senior official in the Andhra Pradesh Pollution Control Board, told the BBC that the leak gas was styrene, which is usually refrigerated. Prime Minister Narendra Modi called an emergency disaster meeting. New York State's top prosecutors on Thursday announced that the company Zoom would improve security measures after flaws were detected as the video conferencing platform soared in popularity amid the coronavirus pandemic. The agreement wraps an investigation launched in March by New York Attorney General Letitia James into vulnerabilities into the California-based company's software. The company also agreed to conduct regular risk assessment and software code reviews to detect vulnerabilities. The number of daily video meetings on Zoom skyrocketed from 10 million in January to more than 300 million at the end of April. The fate of the Serie A championship remained in limbo on Thursday after state scientists met with football bosses in the desperate efforts to save the coronavirus-interrupted season, threatened by a new wave of positive tests among players. The Italian Football Federation, FIGC, huddled with the government's technical scientific committee to discuss details of the medical protocol for a potential return to group training. The talks came with pressuring mounting from Sport Depree fans and sponsors for Italy to follow the Germans' Bundesliga lead and return to action. Sport Minister Vincenzo Spadafora said after the meeting he was hopeful team training could resume on May 18. However, 8 players have tested positive so far this week, with 4 from Sampdoria, including one of who had previously recovered, 3 from Fiorentina and 1 at Torino. Fiorentina revealed 3 of the club's staffs had also tested positive for the virus. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Welcome back, listener. Here is news analysis for today. And some European leagues confirmed to restart the new season. After months under very strict measures of movement as the world hits by COVID-19 pandemic, and now as daily activity is slowly back to normal, the news from Sport Arena is a very refreshing as the new hope arise. Some leagues around Europe are making preparation to restart the new football season. The first move is from Germany. The Bundesliga will resume on May 15, the German league confirmed on Wednesday, May 6, after Chancellor Angela Merkel and state leaders gave the green light to restart. The political blessing makes the German top flight the first of Europe's 5 major leagues to return to the field. Matches will be allowed under the approved rules, Ms. Merkel said at a press conference in Berlin. Germany's top politicians approve a plan for the Bundesliga to resume in stadiums without spectators and with players regularly tested. Permission was granted on condition that strict guidelines are followed, with hygiene officers appointed to each team to prevent contagions of the virus. Economic reasons are also driving the decision to allow football to resume. The league has long urged restarting play, which it says is vital for sectors that employs 56,000 people in Germany. Teams returned to training on April 6, although sessions have followed stringent social distancing rules. From Italy, the sport news come in mixed concern. The Italy Serie A championship will follow Bundesliga and the training could resume on May 18. But the new wave of positive tests among players should be to discuss more details between the Italian Football Federations and Government Technical Scientific Committee. 8 players have tested positive so far this week, with 4 from Sampdoria, including one who had previously recovered, 3 from Fiorentina, and 1 at Torino. The other leagues across Europe are taking different approaches. The French league announced last week it will not resume the season, with Paris Saint-Germain awarded the top-flight title. That is the fear of Jean-Michel Aulas, the outspoken president of Lyon, who had hoped Ligue 1 could still be played to a conclusion despite last week's announcement by the French Prime Minister that it cannot restart anytime soon. Meanwhile, the English Premier League, Europe's richest league, aims to restart in June, but differences have emerged over plans to use neutral stadiums. The other good news came from Southern Hemisphere, as in New Zealand could restart professional sport within days, the Sport Ministry said on Thursday, May 7th. Sport and Recreation Minister Grant Robertson said professional sports would be able to resume domestically when the country lowers its COVID-19 alert level down a notch. The announcement will give New Zealand's hope of becoming the world's first major rugby nations to resume playing the sport at an elite level. That was News Analysis. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. What's up, Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitled When Kim Jong-un Appears. The issues of the death of Kim Jong-un, North Korea's leader, has been broken after rumors about his illness and death in early April and 3 weeks' absence, the North Korean leaders appeared to inaugurate a factory. Speculations about Kim's whereabouts and health conditions peak when he did not attend the anniversary of the birth of his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, who was the founder of North Korea. Moreover, the North Korean leader was again not seen when he was to receive a World War II medal from Russian President Vladimir Putin. The award was given because Kim preserved the memory of Soviet soldiers killed in North Korea, according to the Russian embassy in Pyongyang. The world indeed often speculates about the condition and existence of the North Korean leader. This is certainly inseparable from the North Korea's bargaining positions in terms of world nuclear weapons control. Kim's disappearance from the public accord when Pyongyang's talks with Washington regarding the North Korea's nuclear weapons came to a halt after 3 meetings between Kim and US President Donald Trump. If Kim is unable to continue the talk, or even dies first, it will increase uncertainty in this negotiations process. Naturally, the international world then highlighted the absence of Kim Jong-un, complete with various speculations. For North Korea itself, the absence of Kim Jong-un is also influential, because the supreme leader's authorities includes the ruling Labour Party and also the military. All major decisions require his approval. The absence of Kim Jong-un means the vacuum in some segment of North Korean life, not to mention the emergence of new issues about the construction of one more nuclear reactor on the North Korean peninsula. The world is indeed in the midst of uncertainty, whether it concerns nuclear weapons, conflicts in various regions, or the current hot issues, the corona pandemic COVID-19. The existence and conditions of Kim Jong-un's health complete this uncertainty. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter.
But if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Welcome back to Today in History. I begin with a history on May 8, 1945, the end of World War II in Europe. On May 8, 1945, in Berlin Karlsruhe, Battle Commander Wilhelm Keitel signed an unconditional capitulation letter. When Hitler was found dead, World War II in Europe was over. The Nazis who dominated Germany and Europe had been overthrown. But after that, the Cold War erupted, which then lasted more than 40 years. Next turn on May 8 that celebrates as the World Red Cross Day. May 8, 1948 was firstly celebrated as World Red Cross Day to honor the services of the inventor of the World Red Cross movement, Henry Dunant, who was also born on the same date. The commemoration of World Red Cross Day aims to inspire, facilitate, and promote all humanitarian activities carried out by the International Committee of the Red Cross and members of the national communities. In addition, the commemoration of the day was also used as an opportunity to appreciate the services of volunteers and staffs who fought to save lives of many people. And with a history on May 8 is commemorated as the World Thalassemia Day. World Thalassemia Day is celebrated every May 8. Thalassemia is a red blood cell disorder that is easily broken. This disease is inherited by both parents and occurs since childhood. Thalassemia is not a contagious disease, so it can be prevented. Thalassemia is divided into two types, namely thalassemia trait or minor and major. Thalassemia minor is not dangerous, just like normal people, whereas thalassemia major is a type of thalassemia which shows symptoms of anemia, enlarged liver and spleen, which is dangerous and always requires blood transfusion throughout the life. That was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome, listener. You've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title Indonesian government prepares mitigation effort in dealing with the drought amid COVID-19 pandemic. The Indonesian government is preparing anticipatory measures to deal with the drought amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Based on predictions of the World Food Agency, FAO, the food crisis will hit the world because of the long drought and COVID-19. Based on the forecast of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, 30% of Indonesia will experience a long dry season. It is feared that this condition will impact on the scarcity of staples. Therefore, anticipation of mitigation must be properly prepared so that stability of food prices are not disturbed. This was said by President Joko Widodo when leading a limited meeting on anticipating the impact of drought on the availability of staple food. The meeting was held virtually and was attended by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin and the ministers of the onward Indonesia cabinet at the State Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday, May 5. As an anticipatory measure, President Joko Widodo asked availability of water in all areas of agricultural production centers. Water as a key production must be prepared from now on, from storing rainwater, filling lakes, reservoirs, retention ponds, and other artificial water storage. Furthermore, he wants food stocks to be better managed. The president asked Bulog to buy grain directly from farmers so that the farmers will get better prices. On this occasion, President Joko Widodo also asked farmers to speed up the growing season ahead of the 2020 dry season. Farmers must take advantage of the rainfall that still exists today, and it must be ensured that farmers continue to produce, must continue to plant by implementing health protocols. Therefore, the availability of agricultural infrastructure, both related to seeds and fertilizers, must be truly available in affordable prices. Moreover, the government had already prepared an economic stimulus for farmers. In a limited meeting last April 28, Coordinating Minister for the Economy Erlangga Hartarto said the government would provide an incentive for 2.44 million farmers worth 600,000 rupiah. The incentive in the form of direct cash assistance BLT of 600,000 rupiah, consisting of 300,000 rupiah in cash assistance and 300,000 rupiah in the form of agricultural production facilities for 3 months. Meanwhile, Minister Erlangga Hartarto also said that the government is preparing a new rice barn in Kalimantan in accordance with the direction of the president some time ago. That was my Indonesia. Thank you for listening.
Kamu bahagia mengenal diriku sama seperti aku bahagia mengenalmu. Tidak masalah berbeda dan ragu, kamu dan aku sama-sama mencari tahu kemana kita akan melangkah, menemukan apa dan berbuat apa. Kita generasi yang penuh harapan dan selalu mencari, ingin merasakan dahsyatnya dunia yang sebenarnya, dunianya kita. Kamu rasakan, aku pun rasakan, apa yang sangat menjadi pertanyaan kita. Genggam tanganku, menggapai mimpi, kamu dan aku sama-sama mencari tahu kemana kita akan melangkah, menemukan apa dan berbuat apa. Kita generasi yang penuh harapan.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce Rogan Soup Culinary from Cianjur, West Java. In the holy month of Ramadan, various typical culinary are usually served by people. One of them is Rogan Soup. This culinary is so popular in Cianjur, West Java. Rogan soup is also called soup roti dawegan, and in the local traditional language, dawegan means young coconut. Young coconut and fresh bread become main culinary while breaking fasting in Cianjur. Besides white bread and young coconut, Rogan soup also use other ingredients such as coconut milk and milk. Initially, the oval-shaped bread is put on a banana leaf, then added slices of coconut, a mixture of coconut milk and milk, then wrapped. The Rogan is steamed for 25 minutes. After cooked, the Rogan can be eaten in warm. This food is also delicious if it is eaten in cold with ice. The Rogan soup has sweet taste from milk and savory coconut milk and young coconut. Currently, people modify the Rogan soup by adding some fruits such as banana as the topping and as a complementary of its serve. Listener, because using coconut milk, Rogan soup should be directly enjoyed because it only lasts for 7 hours at room temperature. If stored in refrigerator, Rogan soup can last up to 2 days. This culinary is easily found in Cianjur, especially during Ramadan. The price is relatively cheap, around 12,500 for a portion of Rogan original and 15,000 rupiah for Rogan with banana. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Rogan Soup from Cianjur. Tomorrow, we will meet again in another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Melengkapi aku. garis tanganku telah memilih kamu untuk lebih jauh mendekati aku. Kini garis tanganku telah memilih kamu hidup di dalam hatiku. Nyaris tak pernah ku sadar cintamu untukku, sungguh tak pernah ku duga. Nyaris aku tak menyangka hatimu untukku hampir saja kau menghilang. Takdir kita telah berkata kau hadir di sini melengkapi aku. Kini garis tanganku telah memilih kamu untuk lebih jauh mendekati aku. Kini garis tanganku telah memilih kamu hidup di dalam.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about Violeta UV ray based coffee sterilization robot. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. The 10 November Institute of Technology, ITS, collaborates with Erlangga University Hospital to continue to produce innovative technology for handling the coronavirus outbreak. This time, the invented innovation is in the form of ultraviolet ITS Erlangga, or called Violeta robot, which is useful to facilitate the process of room sterilization for the care of COVID-19 patients. ITS Deputy Rector for Bambang Pramujati PhD explained that the idea of creating the Violeta robot began when several ITS lecturers succeeded in researching the use of UV light to eliminate or inhibit the growth of microorganisms. This robot can also avoid physical contact with UV exposure because it is very dangerous when it comes to humans directly. Violeta uses a UV light that is controlled remotely by using wireless control. This robot is effectively used at a distance of 1 to 2 meters to the objects and takes 10 to 15 minutes to fully sterilize. One of the Violet's research teams, Endarco, added that in general these UV lights have wavelengths of 200 to 300 nanometers. In practice and theory, the wavelength range can kill microorganisms well. This 30 watt UV light is healthier and safer than using disinfectants. This is because there are no residues left after the sterilization process. As for the application in the COVID-19 case, the Violeta robot has the benefit of being able to sterilize the isolation space that has been used or the area that has been used in handling COVID-19 and without involving humans directly. One of the Violeta robot team programmers, Ahmad Zidan Akbar, said the robot, which weighs 30 kilograms, uses the basic platforms of the ITS soccer robot named Iris. The Violeta also uses an interface to convert the direct current from the battery into alternating current, which will turn on the UV light. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Semua gugusan bintang mendengar hatiku. Indonesia.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Central Java entitled Ojo Mudik, which will be sung by the newly passed away Didik Kempot. Didik Kempot, who has a nickname the Lord of the Broken Heart, passed away at Kasih Ibu Hospital, Solo, Central Java, on Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. The song Ojo Mudik, or in English means Please Do Not Coming Home, was his last work. The song describes the sudden appearance of coronavirus, COVID-19, and raises questions why the virus must appear. In lyrics of his song, Didi also appealed for the people to not gather. He also reminded the people to wash hands, keep distance safely, use mask, pray, and to stay at home. Overall, the song contains appeal in order people to postpone activity of going home this year's Idul Fitri. The song was released at Didi Kempot's official YouTube account 6 days before he passed away. Listeners, here is Didik Kempot with his song entitled Ojo Mudik.
Matur suwun dulur-dulur, rasa mudik.
Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.